Medicine Woman podcast could not survive alone on the new frontier. But we won't give up. And we are not alone anymore. We have committed to covering every episode, and that might be the biggest challenge of all. Welcome to Dr. Quinncast, the Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman podcast.
Hello, you are listening to Dr. Quinncast, and I am on the line right now with your host, Kelly Milky. How you doing, Kelly?
Good. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing great. And excellent. I'm very excited. I'm trying to come up with a game show type intro where I can Kelly Milky. It's very in line with Dr. Quinn, I think.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
It's kind of like in that circus episode when Jake was the, what do you call the, do they just call it an announcer?
It's like, here, Jake, read this. Or no, Jake, right, yeah. Come on. His career ended just like that. I'm going to go back to leeches.
Leeches and bleeding.
But welcome to the show. And I am really looking forward to this episode. This is a very fun episode. I watched it for the very first time just a week ago.
Yeah.
And I got to rewatch it just a couple hours ago. It's Money Trouble. And it first aired on November 12th, 1994. I don't think you were born yet. And you were an infant. An infant.
I wasn't an infant. I'm just like,
you were a kid. I wouldn't have legally been able to hang out with you.
You were like a Matthew and I was a brain.
No, you'll never be a brain. Well, you know, not a Brian. I have to stop calling him brain. I bet you I'm insulting people. Cheryl, if you're listening, I'm not going to call him brain anymore, just for you.
Please do better.
I'm trying to do better. The smalls ways. All right. So it's going to be the Cheryl show. Just, we're doing better.
That's what I heard. Yeah, we're making the effort.
All right. Well, our goal is really to get Cheryl to call in. That's what's got to happen here.
So we need to get her, on the podcast.
So I don't mean to do reverse ageism on you and all that kind of stuff. It just November 12th, 1994. And we're well into the third season. It's the eighth episode of the third season. Your dog, he can sniff out that Wolf is in this scene that we're about to start with.
He's very excited about it. And he was getting excited because he just thinks that we're at a really good point in the series where we have the relationship developing more between Michaela and Sully. And the big untold question that still is not answered, where is Wolf going to sleep?
I wonder if
their shared house.
Yeah, I mean, will they have like a Brady Bunch little doghouse or something, or a little doghouse teepee?
That'd be nice. They should. Build them a little lean-to.
He already has one.
His own lean-to.
Can we afford it? And that's what this is about, Money Troubles. Now, the previous episode, they were hanging out with President Grant, and they were really living the life, you know, and I don't know, like, they come back and are having money issues. I almost just feel like, you know, Michaela turned down this government job. Sully took a government job, but we don't really, we don't hear much about it in this episode. It does come out in a future episode.
Right.
And in a very hippie way, he really deals with that in a certain way. And so I'm going to play this first clip. This sets us up where Sully is at the livery and Michaela wants nice things. She grew up with nice things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She wants to, you know, make the house a home.
Yeah. And you know what? Things. From the blueprints, it looks really nice. It's a nice colonial. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Sully?
Morning, Michaela.
Now, that was weird. I just had to stop that right there immediately. Has he ever called her Michaela just like that?
When he does do it.
Who's Dr. Mike?
I know, right? I can't place... Well, yeah, he does. Okay, one example. I don't know if it's the first one, but he calls her Michaela the episode they get engaged, does he not? When he's like, marry me, Michaela.
Okay, maybe. He calls her Michaela. I guess he wouldn't say, marry me, Dr. Mike. It's just not as romantic.
So I think that as the relationship deepens, he does start calling her Michaela.
Do you think Michaela took him aside and said, look, Sully, now that we're in a relationship, you don't have to call me doctor anymore. And I'm not going to call you Mr. Sully. I mean, at one, you know, it's weird that she refers to him as Sully anyway. I mean, his name is Byron.
I'm going to call you Byron. I don't care if you hate it.
Listen, Milky. It's like, I have a first name,
sir. I mean,
sir.
So here's the thing. Sully is kind of a cool name. I like it.
Oh, no, it's awesome. It's
like a really cool name, and it totally fits him. But yeah, it's like a little weird that, and we kind of like run into this a little bit, like after they get married, because like if someone will like, you know, call her Mrs. Sully, which she doesn't really do, she keeps her name.
Everybody has a cool name on the show. Michaela's a cool name. Sully's a cool name. And, Wolf.
Yeah. But it's like, if someone will be like, call her like Mrs. Sully, and then they'll be like, Mr. Sully. And he'll be like, it's just Sully, you know? It's not like it's just like Sully. Although Mr. Sully technically is correct. I mean,
it's a lot like John Rambo in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And he kind of lives like John Rambo in a lot of ways, too.
Cool names, though. Jake Slicker, that's a cool name.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I really think that's a cool name. What's Hank's last name?
Lawson.
That's like the eighth time I've asked you that.
It'll stick one of these times.
Hank Lawson. That's not a bad
name. We have Cloud Dancing. Can't forget about Cloud Dancing.
What's his last name? Manischewitz? Cloud Dancing Moskowitz?
Yeah.
Isn't he in the episode about Hanukkah?
Cloud Dancing Moskowitz. Yeah. He has a stash of that.
My actual name is Mordecai. That'd be awesome. That would be awesome.
Yes, I agree.
But you know, the guy who played the Native American in the last episode, in the Washington episode, he's Puerto Rican. He was not even Native American.
The guy that played...
he's a famous guy. I can never remember his real name, but he was...
Summit Parker, right? Parker?
Yes. I'm just going to agree with everything.
Was it Eli? No, his last name is Parker, I think. But is it Eli Parker?
But you know the one I mean with the long black hair?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I didn't know he's Puerto Rican.
He is a Puerto Rican guy. No, I have no problem with Puerto Ricans, of course, but he's not a Native American.
Just tell it like it is, Mark. You clearly have a problem with it. I'm just kidding.
The only thing I have a problem with is the amount of bronzer that Sully has. You hear me, Cheryl?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know. Is he really wearing bronzer? Does it just look like he is? Because he's recently gotten some highlights in his
hair. The guy is a great-looking guy. I'm just jealous. I'm just teasing anyway. But he does have those blonde highlights. He used a little bit of sun in.
Yeah, I think that this is pretty much like prime Sully hair time. Because like those bangs kind of grew out. You know, like the bangs like in season one.
It looks great. He looks like
totally a fan of the bangs, but like the bangs grew out a little bit.
He looks like guitarist from the Black Crowes or something.
I'm like, he's looking good. The hair looks good. It suits him very well.
He looks great. Yeah.
He looks great. Yeah. Michaela has got a winner.
Michaela's got more outfits than she dares have. I mean, it's insane at this point. She has so many outfits. It's ridiculous. I don't know if I've ever seen her repeat an outfit. I don't know where she keeps all these clothes.
I don't know. I mean, considering that, like, at the homestead, the bed is pretty much in the living room. It's kind of incredible.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll come up over and over again. But here's the rest of this.
This catalog came in. There's a special section on houses. I found the most beautiful windows. Wouldn't that look lovely on our new front door?
It's real nice.
And they say you can, order them from Chicago.
How much?
Shall we ask Lauren?
No.
Chicago? That's not Washington, D.C.
What? I just... This whole thing is so weird to me, like, with her tastes. She's not normally used to thinking about the prices of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, she grew up with a lot of money, and as well-intentioned as she is, I think she does sometimes sort of like lose perspective right. on the fact that she is very privileged. I mean, she had a very cushy upbringing, and she obviously has challenges because, you know, she's a woman doctor. And I'm not like saying she doesn't, but I think she kind of sometimes loses sight of the fact that, like, she's pretty privileged and that, like, she grew up in a wealthy family. You know, her family is rich. She even, like, though she's struggled, she's very educated. I mean, she really has, like, a lot of stuff that, and especially in this context with the people in this town, I mean, she has so much more than, like, you know, everybody else in
Absolutely.
The town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And from what we understand, she does earn a fair amount from her practice. So.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. I mean, that's.
Suddenly. A, where did that come from?
Huge rumor. It's more of a yeah. rumor than much.
Yeah. I think Maybe it's actually. Credit. She's actually getting paid in Dogecoin, I think.
That'd be nice. That'd be yeah. actually useful. But I don't believe that's the case. I believe she's getting maybe paid in dogs instead.
Well, like probably chickens and like peaches and embroidered napkins and stuff. These are all things that we see her like, you know, getting paid with.
Yeah, and coffee over the Christmas and stuff series. Like that. Mm-hmm. But here we go. We have Lauren nailing up a sign and we have a Wild Will shoe coming. He has no energy. He's like no actual hand strength as he's hammering that thing. And the, you know, the directors are like, "Don't, not too hard. The whole building's gonna collapse. It's not a real building."
What's that, Mr. Gray?
Why don't you read it for yourself?
Judd McCoy's Wild West Show.
Cowboys, cowgirls, Indians,
Mexicans performing death-defying feats. Oh,
when they coming?
Next week.
It says it right on there, dummy. Why don't you read it?
Whoa.
That's Jake. You know, it's yeah. funny because when Brian walks up, he reads it out loud, and all of a sudden Jake's interested because he's been waiting all day. He's like, what does it say?
Yeah, like he's just been like watching Lauren put it up. Like, I want to know what this is. Oh,
and I like Jake. I really do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
Wait, I mean, he does bad stuff like they all do.
Yeah, some of them do so many worse things than others.
Yeah.
Right now, number one in all the bad guys is Hank. I like him the most.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He is, like, best bad guy of all time.
Yeah.
Like, bad or good, he's, like, my favorite.
Totally.
Day.
I can't wait. I bet they got trick ropes, too.
You don't want to see that, Brian.
Why not?
Shows are phony. This gives folks a crazy idea what the West is. None of it's true.
It's entertaining.
Can we go, Ma? Please?
No, you know, Jake makes an excellent point. It's entertainment. You know, I don't understand why Sully has to be such a downer about this.
Well, I mean, I think he is just so, like, I don't know. He's so devoted to kind of, like, his lifestyle. I don't think, maybe he just doesn't really find it entertaining for people to be, like, pretending to live a certain type of lifestyle. I mean, like, we know that the show, like, you know, uses Indians in a, like, less than flattering way and stuff. No, I guess maybe he just doesn't
really
where you're
coming from, but it's kind of like, it's kind of like when people love WWF or, like, whatever exists these days, like the fake wrestling.
Well,
no,
I'll just stop you right there because that's not entertainment. That's real.
Do you ever see the video of the guy crying when he's, somebody said it's not real, and all of a sudden he broke down.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Guy. But yeah, it is real. And monster trucks, all of that. You know, that's it's all legit. And all right, so, but wouldn't you kind of put this on the same pedestal? I mean, and aren't they in the West? Kind of? I mean,
yeah,
Midwest.
I mean, that's kind of the thing that I find surprising, that would this town really be like, I mean, I guess because it's, like, entertaining maybe still, and the entertainment is, I mean, because it's not, like, an accurate portrayal, really, that they're giving. It's a very, like, exaggerated, like, kind of, you know, Wild West type thing.
Timeline's so a little odd, because just a few episodes, really we had, like, 170 cattle that we were moving, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were living with cowboys, you know, like, we... Brian was out there getting bitten by scorpions and almost dying in the wagon.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what's so exciting about this?
Maybe it's like the parody of it all that just makes them like excited. I mean, maybe that's really the appeal. But I've thought that as well, too, that it's like you're like living in the Wild West. So I'm not really sure why this is, you know, the exciting thing. You would think that would be. But I guess who else would be your audience? I mean, I don't think this show would do that well in Boston, right?
Maybe
I mean,
it's like people who go to Queens and they're in parts that look a little bit suburban, and it's like, oh, no, those aren't the real suburbs. You got to come out here. These are the real suburbs. You know,
right, yeah.
Maybe, no.
Maybe.
So here we go. We're going to start talking about Windows because really, Michaela's got her finger on the page. All she cares is she's like, whatever, I don't really care about this.
I want Wild this window, stuff. And I want it now.
All I want is a window, and it's all that matters. And if I don't get this window, people will die. I think that's kind of what she said. I'm reading between the lines a little bit. It's essentially
I'm going to be withholding morphine until I get this window.
She saw it in this catalog.
Here.
Oh, yeah. I've seen them. Made by Corwin McGee. Got to be special ordered.
Well, how much is the large one?
What's the model?
They call it Rondelay.
Rondelay.
As you point out, it's
fancy. Rondelay.
Does it come with some? Does it come with like, I don't know.
Does it come with a butler?
Ooh, that'd be Rondelay. Nice.
Yeah, here it is. $25.
$25.
All right, window? That is one expensive window.
Yeah, I mean, adjusted for inflation, that's over $600 for a window. Now, in my house when it was built, all the houses around here had a similar window installed. Not nearly as pretty as this. This is actually a very nice window when we do finally see it. But we all have like this stained glass window that was installed in all of the houses. Some houses didn't maintain it and got rid of it, but I cannot believe it's the same style. Like it's the same type of thing. Did it really cost this much for windows back then? Maybe it did.
That's a good question. Well, I mean, like as Lauren says, it's like, you know,
well, he goes on, yeah.
And like, you know, there's like all these like details about it that make it really special, but dang, that is an expensive
window. This
is
where he talks about the details of the window.
They're beveled, leaded, custom designed.
Our new house?
Hmm? Are there LEDs in it? Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing. It's they go on.
Oh gosh, it's pretty.
So you want to order it now? You got to pay half in advance, and you still owe me for that hardware.
Well, we're gonna have to let it go. Maybe later. Brian, come on. Bet your Robert E's finished you and your horse by now.
And Michaela just has this look of like, well, oh, really?
I mean, you want to talk about like looks. So first of all, the whole time, Sully looks like very distinctly uninterested in this window. Like,
yes.
He just has this like totally dull look on his face. Like he is just not interested in the window. I'm sure he doesn't really care what the window looks like, but it's like if Michaela wants the window, we'll look at the window. And of course he finds out how expensive it is. It's like, I didn't really care about the window in the first place, and now I really don't care about the window because it's, like, ridiculously expensive. And then, yeah, Michaela's just all like, well, I'm going to have my window.
It's kind of like in Pulp Fiction where they order the milkshake, you know? It's
yeah.
Like, does it come with rum or anything? You know, is this just a milkshake? I think it was $6, which is actually cheap these days for a milkshake, but it's kind of funny how prices go up.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, I mean, like this window, I mean, $25 doesn't, I mean, like Matthew, like sold his wagon for $15. You're telling me this window is worth like two wagons?
It's leaded.
It's crazy.
It is nice. But yeah, I have a hard time believing that. But so we go on to the first quote that could be taken out of context.
Gonna be tight, but I got enough to finish the house in time for the wedding.
That's wonderful.
Can I still have my wallpaper?
Yep.
And can my room be painted green?
You're gonna help paint it yourself.
What are you so happy about? No, it's nice.
I get to paint my room.
It is nice, I think. When we bought this house, my kid was like really happy to paint his room with me and made a huge mess.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, like, given like where they're living right now.
Yeah.
And they're all like kind of crammed in there. I mean, like, it's exciting that they get like their own rooms and they get to like have the rooms designed how they want it.
What about Sully? You know, he's like living under twigs. He's like, I can't make it to winter. I'm not gonna make it again.
Sully, I've been thinking about that window we saw for the front door.
Jesus Christ, the window again. You know, he's just like, enough of the window. I said next year, maybe, you know, like he did say we're going to have to hold it off, you know,
right.
We'll, maybe in the future.
Like, no, outright. It's just like, we don't have the money for this right now.
Like, maybe we don't need the refrigerator with the built-in iPad. Maybe we don't need to spend $5,000. You know, it's
speaking of windows, though, this brings to mind a certain episode of Little House on the Prairie where Pa wanted to put in a picture window that kept getting broken, and then he ended up getting like just his regular window.
It's a hilarious gag that they that I thought they pulled off well.
Yes, it's very funny, and they work in some puns about it and everything, and I think it's delightful. But I guess, you know, when you're living this sort of frontier lifestyle, and you know, you're building a house, which it's like you want to make it your own, and you want to have like special stuff about it. And I think that people have those things that they're like, I want to do this and it will like, you know, really make it special.
Sure.
But I guess like windows, maybe, I mean, cause like you get like the nice glass, it could, you know, it's just like it could be like a nice way to just like upgrade, you know, your living situation. So I guess maybe that's just sort of like a thing, especially when you're living in like these sorts of, you know, cabin style houses, you know, it's not like they're going to be like, well, getting new siding on the house or something.
Since you really brought up Little House in the Prairie.
Yeah.
With Little House in the Big Woods, when you really look at it, the window is almost a luxury. It's like there, everything outside of that window is so foreign. It's so exciting to look at, you know, depending on the seasons and everything. So I think back in this period of time, having a window was kind of a little bit of a luxury.
Yeah.
And to have a fancy window.
Yeah. Well, and then when you think about like Michaela, like, you know, where she grew up in Boston, obviously it was a very fancy house.
Right. Had eight of these windows.
Yeah. Like where she's been living is like a stark departure from that. For her, honestly, this probably is just like a nice little compromise between like living that frontier lifestyle, but then like, you know, bringing in a little bit of fancy stuff with it. To her, it's probably still very mild, you know, like really mild.
Should have seen the windows she really wanted.
Yeah, you should have seen the plans she drew for the house.
Yeah, seriously. This was like the servant's quarters.
Yeah.
Well, she has high hopes. But yeah, so they go on about the window a bit.
It's going to have to be plain glass, at least for now.
Well, actually,
right there. Actually.
Yeah. Actually, I bought the window.
It's like you're going to bring up your doctor title, aren't you?
And
even
doctor,
Colleen's
and
like,
I,
you know.
She's like, I prescribe this window to myself, and I am a doctor.
And if you look, even her whole mannerism, she's a little bit leaned towards. She turns and looks at the real Colleen.
Mm-hmm.
And Colleen's like, I need that window. Even Colleen.
I think like Colleen is kind of like,
Do you think she's more indifferent?
No, I think she's more like, I can't believe you're going to pull this off. You're just like, kind of like you just bought the window and you didn't tell him. That's like how I interpreted her body language. Like she's kind of like,
yeah,
some stuff is going down. This is going to be crazy.
Colleen's like, you're my hero.
Oh, I could buy it for us.
If you got your heart set on it, I'll get you that window maybe next year. What's so special about this window?
Exactly.
Oh, it's very pretty, and it would give the house character. Well, it could be my present to all of us.
Thanks, but I want you doing that.
Well, you could pay me back later if you like. But after we're married, it won't matter anyway.
I never took money from you. I don't want to start now.
We're going to be partners, aren't we? Well, I earn a fair amount from my practice. Why shouldn't that go to help make our family comfortable?
Really?
It's on the table right now. Yeah. We're eating it for dinner.
Yeah. It's just, it's weird that she says that, because since when did she make a lot of money from her practice? Like, she comes from a wealthy family. She has money because her family is rich. But, like, she gets paid in chickens and stuff. And she talks about how she gets paid in, like, you know, other stuff. There, in a lot of other episodes.
Yeah.
She talks about patients paying her with non-money things. Later on, she kind of gets a little bit more, like, she gets a little bit more money from the practice, I think. But, like, especially now, it's like, I don't think you're really actually getting paid money that much.
I kind of understand where Sully's coming from. Not really from my life, but I think of it as it's the way he was brought up, and it's the way he was approaching his wife and child. And
brought up by who? His parents were dead when he was 10.
Well, he was brought up by the orphanage.
By the streets.
By the streets have raised a good boy. And with manners, and he's, you know, the president really likes him. So, he raised himself. Actually, we do learn he was like raised by Indians later, right?
Oh, I thought you were going to say raised by wolves.
No, he dances with wolves.
Right. I think that he, it's not really surprising that he has this viewpoint, though. I mean, it just isn't. It actually would be like, I mean, just a show in this time period and, portraying people in this time period, it would be like more surprising if they didn't have some issues, right. You know, like over stuff like this. So I think that he's just sort of being like a normal guy of his time. But also in a way, it's kind of surprising because he is so like not a normal guy in a lot of ways. And he really is. He really comes at stuff from a different perspective from like everybody else in the town all the time. So it is kind of surprising. But you're also kind of like, oh, Sully is just a regular guy. You know, it's kind of one of those things where you're like, underneath it all, like he really is just like a regular guy.
What's your take on Michaela ordering the window behind his back?
I mean, I think that she shouldn't have done it without saying something. And even that, like, when she ordered it, it's like, okay, that really isn't the end of the world. I mean, like, it could have been like she ordered it and then it's just like, well, we're going to have this window now because you ordered it. And maybe it would irritate him a little bit, but like he could get over it because it's not that big of a deal.
That's the way I
feel. Like, but then after the dinner thing, when she brings it up again, and really at that point, she should have just said, like, I ordered the window.
Like,
get it out there and just deal with it.
Instead of being kind of sneaky about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, and also, I kind of wrote this in the notes. Do you think Sully still takes a dollar a month from Michaela?
You know, I had never thought of it until I saw that you wrote that in there. And I'm like, that's a really good question.
It's $12 a year.
I'm not really sure, because I know he does, like, little odd jobs. But he doesn't really, until he has his government job, doesn't really seem to have, like, this, like, steady, you know, income. So I'm like, is that his income? But then at what point would he, but then, like, at what point, you know, like, when they're in this relationship and they're, like, engaged, it seems like maybe that would stop at some point, but they never address it, so I'm not sure.
My wife and I were talking about this episodes and episodes ago. It was kind of, well, if he's getting a dollar a month, right, maybe that buys just enough food for him and Wolf.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, hunting.
He's living off, the land, right? I mean, like, he can, like,
He's legit broke. I mean, he's nothing.
But he's self-sufficient. I don't think he really needs much money. But so what I was thinking is, like, so if he's been getting, I don't know how long he was getting a dollar a month, but he's gotten a dollar a month for maybe a couple of years. Maybe it's stopped by now. We don't really know. But how much money is he really using? Because he is living off the land. I mean, like, he gets, like, food from, like, the wilderness, and he, like, probably hunts and stuff and probably shares some meals with the Cheyenne, you know, like, when there's food there. So I'm like, I think
this guy's back, it's like
yeah, it's like that dinner guest, like, cloud dancing your friend.
It's like, yeah, take, it's fine, take cornbread.
Yeah, of course you're gonna have seconds. and I think, like, so he's pretty self-sufficient. I don't think he really is so much, like, part of the, like, economy where he's just, like, going into town and buying stuff from Lauren. Like, I think this episode probably is, like, the most he's dealt with Lauren in a really long time, you know, probably since Lauren was his father-in-law. And even then, he probably didn't really deal with him because, you know, Lauren disowned his daughter and hated Sully. So I think he never really, like, was really purchasing stuff much. He was more just kind of living off the land. And maybe since he was for maybe a couple of years getting a dollar a month, what I was wondering was he saving that? And then this is like his life savings that he's spending on the house.
It's possible.
Now that he's building the house, he has like, he needs to buy stuff, you know? And I'm like, and where else would he have gotten that money?
You know, there's also the idea of he dresses really nice when he needs to. I don't even know where he keeps that suit.
And I know. Like, he just whips it out on her birthday and you're like, what?
Like, is that like hanging up in the lean-to with like a bag, you know?
It's like one of those little like tuxedo bags.
Yeah, like one of those dry cleaning like type of, you know, it's like just put a little piece of cedar in there, actually, keeps it fresh.
It's actually like in a dry cleaning bag and I think Wolf actually uses it for a bed until Sully needs it.
That's terrible. I'm sorry, Cheryl. So, we're trying to do better. And we're doing worse.
We're trying.
We're doing our worst. For you. No, if people are wondering, like, why do they keep saying Cheryl? Cheryl Miles. Was it Miles?
Mills.
Mills. Same thing. Mm-hmm. Is our number one fan. That's all. She's a very opinionated fan.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we're here for the fans. So.
Yeah. So here we go. I'm just going to play this for Cheryl.
Sorry, but I wouldn't feel right about it.
By the way, he's drinking out of a China teacup, right? Or a coffee cup. That's probably like $60. He's no problem. You know, it's just... She could sell, like, her fine china and, like, finance this entire thing. But I guess he doesn't want that either.
Mm-hmm. Well, right, because it would still be her, like, acquiring money to, you know,
I respect
pay for
this,
it.
Though. That's, you know, I really... I do genuinely respect this type of thing. My brother-in-law built a house, you know, like him and... Like, he physically built a house for him and my sister. And, you know, he took a lot of pride in that and, you know, financing it. For the most part himself. And so, I mean, I kind of have been around it. I see it and I understand the pride that somebody takes in these type of things. It's just, I don't think there's anything wrong with having a partnership.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I think that, you know, Dr. Quinn is kind of coming at it as sort of like a little bit more of like a modern perspective where it's like, it's okay for us to like equally contribute, which I don't really know what the situation was like with her parents, although I kind of gather that, I mean, maybe her parents are both probably just rich, right? Like two rich people that got married to each other. But also, as we know from her mother is like really traditional. Every time like she appears on the show, it's like she's just shocked at the way that Michaela is living.
But also kind of understands it for some reason. I always found that Michaela's mother understands the life that she's living and is more down to earth than the other, like the sisters.
Mm.
She can roll with it a little bit.
Her sister Rebecca, I think, is pretty like, she's always pretty agreeable.
Which
and friendly.
Becky?
About
oh, that's the friendly one?
Yeah, she's like her oldest sister. And you'll like get to a couple more episodes coming up in the future.
Yeah, I've seen them only a couple times. But so you made a joke here where you're saying Colleen is learning that women can manipulate men into changing their minds. I think that it's actually kind of true in a lot of ways. I'm just going to play the clip.
What are you going to do? Cancel the window?
It's too late. Don't worry, once it's here, Sully will come around.
I'll just have to put out. For once.
I mean, like, she's still just counting on, like... I mean, she should have just told him. I mean, really, like, I think that was wrong of her. I mean, like, she should have just... He's already upset about it anyway. How much worse can it get at this point? Just put it out there deal with it.
This is where people are going to dislike me. But is it possible she's doing this to get Sully's mind off of trying to get into her pants? Like, it's kind of like, all right, you know what? Let's create a drama. Like, this very, like, dark situation, and we'll be in a fight, and I won't have to, like, fight him off.
A dark situation over a window? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, like, well, she's starting, you know, she's starting an argument, basically, over something so menial.
Okay, does Sully really want to get... I mean, he wants to get into her pants. I don't know how else to say this. I mean, like, obviously, like, they're excited when they get married, you know, to do that. But, I mean, like, I don't think...
Well, I'm not up to that yet. Yeah, but...
Is, like, I don't think that he necessarily is all, like...
He's not going crazy. Okay.
Yeah, at this point, I really don't think he is. I mean, I think that they're just in, like, a, you know...
A cordon.
They'll, like... It gets steamy. Like, they'll have kisses, and it gets kind of steamy, but...
Well, they're more comfortable than people would be.
She maybe has more self-control than Sully, because it's, like, I think she usually is the one who kind of stops it, and it's like, okay, like, you know, gotta go now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that he... is really being, like, that affected by it, and I'm sure that he is fine with, you know, waiting until
of where it is. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I mean, I wrote a little bit about this, is that, you know, he's probably been abstaining since he lost his wife. I mean, to guess. Maybe.
It's up to interpretation in my eyes, because in that episode, Another Woman, when there's the white woman who was, like, living with the Indians that they...
Oh, that's right. I forgot about her.
And then there's that line in that show, like, when, you know, Dr. Mike is hurt and jealous, and when she was like, I want to know, have you been with anyone since Abigail died? Mm-hmm. And then he says, you don't want to know, and then he walks away. And to me, that's kind of open to interpretation, because does he just mean, like, you don't want to know because, like, that's not really what your question is here? You know, like, that's not really what you're getting at here? Or is it like you don't want to know because that's not going to fix any of this? But it's like kind of like it could also be taken that like maybe he had a crazy time in his life or whatever, you know, like after Abigail died.
You don't want to know, Myra. I mean, Michaela.
Like, you know, and then like it could have like I've always kind of wondered. I'm like, I don't know. Like, you know, maybe there was some stuff going on. We don't really get a straight answer on that.
Oh, that's interesting. I forgot about that, and I'm really glad you brought that up. Mm-hmm. Digging deeper. You don't get that in other podcasts. Do you, Cheryl? All right. It's crickets. Charla. I don't even know what... So Myra thinks there's an intruder, and you even said don't play this.
I mean, it's like mostly visual, but yeah. She's
Mark likes to read one line at a time.
Yeah. Yeah, she thinks there's like an intruder, and there's not. She passes out before... I mean, Horace goes out. There's not an intruder. She passes out.
Yeah, it's like, what's going on with Myra? She's like maybe losing her mind. That's what I was kind of thinking. And we get a cute like shot of Horace like with his gun poking his head out the window. I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a fancy window. He just has like a flap.
Well, so maybe like Dr. Mike at this point could have tried to just like sell the window to Horace. Be like, hey, I got this window. You want to like take it off my hands?
It's called a wedding window.
It's called a rondelay.
Ooh, is that French? Probably. Let's see. I'm gonna forward it a little bit. Should I play after the delivery from Robert E?
What
do
go
you think
ahead.
I should play next?
Well, actually, okay, we're talking about Horace and Myra, so we can kind of, like, gloss over that, too, because it's not, like, you know, that important. It's just that, like, Robert E. is making a delivery for Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
Sully is asking him for odd jobs because he's broke. He needs money.
And he has he's kind of ditching, you know, he's trying to delay having to pay for things.
Right.
Because he's broke now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, you feel kind of bad for the guy a little bit. We do get, we go into the telegraph office, though, and we have Horace yawning, and Myra's in the background sleeping. I don't know why she's... Does she work there now? I don't think so.
Well, she's... After they get married, she's just, like, always there with him, and I don't... She just doesn't really do anything, right? I mean, like, she just is there, like...
She even says that, how she's
while
bored.
While he's working. Yeah, but she, like, really doesn't have anything to do, and I don't... Yeah, there are a couple scenes here and there where she seems to be doing, like, a little bit of work. You know, like, maybe doing some numbers. And I'm sure maybe some of the...
I don't like this Myra. I like the old one. She seemed more alive and free-flowing and fun.
Well, I mean, like, she obviously is going through, like, you know, this big adjustment. And I'm sure okay, under the absolute best of circumstances, like, you know, just the adjustment. And it's like her previous life was very awful in a lot of ways.
Sure.
But a very stark difference from what she's doing now. And I think just even like adjusting and like kind of detoxing, you know, from that whole situation would really be... Well, so there's that, right? There are a lot of layers going on here, because there's a transition from, you know, being one of the girls at the saloon to, you know, just being like not a girl at the saloon. And that's a huge transition. You're still in this little town where, like, who knows, like, you've probably, you know, all the guys at the saloon, like, you know you as Myra from the saloon.
And you have less money now because she doesn't make any money.
Right. Not making your own money. And then, but even, like, so there's all that, which is crazy. But then, like, right on top of that, very shortly after that, you know, she gets married to Horace. Well, it's like, I mean, getting married is a big life transition, too. I mean, like, we just have, like, transitions on top of transitions, which is, like, just one of those transitions at one time would be, like, a lot to deal with. And it's just, like, all at once. And it's, like, I don't know. It's crazy.
Well, I'm going to go into the... Judd McCoy coming into town and how exciting it is. Everybody's just so excited to see all of these carnival people. I don't even know what you call them. But they come into town and they wake everyone up. And everybody just kind of comes out and they're like, woo, this is exciting.
Yeah, people... don't really have a lot going on because they can just like readily attend to anything that comes up in
right.
town.
Howdy! How are you? How are you, ma'am? How you doing today? Buddy, stop this thing now. How are you? Oh my God. So, yeah, I mean, it just Judd McCoy comes in. He's loud. It's a brightly painted wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it's a fun type of thing. They have somebody come by and he's shooting guns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought that was going to be the person that needs the best aim. But apparently
not. That needs
not.
The what?
Yeah, we need somebody to have, like, very skillful aim.
Oh, gotcha.
And I would think it would be that person, whoever that was. But I don't even see them return.
Yeah, so they, like, fire guns in the show a lot, just into the air like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, where do these bullets go?
They do come back down. I think
they do, right?
Like, sure.
Right, yeah.
It's crazy. Just today I was watching an episode where Michaela fires a gun in the air to get rid of a mountain lion. And I'm thinking the way she just held the gun, she would have broke her wrist.
Right, yeah. Actually, it's so funny because... I think I even remember, like, watching that episode with my husband, and he pretty much said the same thing. Like, you can't shoot a gun like that. That's not how it works.
Yeah, it's like there's a little bit of recoil. And that gun's huge. She's using Matt's, like, .44 caliber elephant gun or something. I don't know what that is. But Sully is just kind of he's really against this, but he goes on.
Like Sadie Sawtooth! Sadie! Show him! One!
Oh, God. I thought that Sully was going to say something. So they're in the crowd. They're talking. Michaela says, okay, we can go to it. She gives them money. I feel like Sully just didn't have money, and he didn't want to go.
So you think that's why he doesn't want to go? Because I thought he was
part
just like
of me. I think he thinks it's a waste of money.
Principles. Yeah.
But Dr. Mike's like, here you go. Here's money. Dorothy comes running out, like, you know, because it's so important to let Sully know when his window arrives.
Sully, I got good news for you.
What?
Your window's here.
What window?
The one that you ordered, you and Michaela, for your new home.
I didn't order any window.
Oh, dear. Laura.
Now, why does she get upset here? She doesn't know that there's a problem.
Well, I think she kind of senses what's going on. This is kind of goes back to my thing where it's like, Michaela should have just told him, like, before now. Because now I kind of get... Because before I was kind of like, maybe Sully's overreacting. And then, like... But then I'm like, but she should have told him ultimately. Like, I just ordered the window. And they could have, like, you know, kind of dealt with it there. And then
right,
they
like,
did
don't
it.
Hate and, me. I'm sorry I did it. It's too late. Yeah. It's coming. We're stuck with yeah. it. We'll just,
but,
you
like,
know, let this
she didn't
go.
Say any, yeah, she didn't say anything. And now, like, he's... publicly embarrassed, basically. At this point, I kind of get that he feels like a total jackass about it because it's like he didn't even know what was going on. And then, like, Dorothy and Lauren, who mm-hmm. are like two of the biggest busybodies in town,
right? It's like the front page of the next thing. It's like, Michaela's doing things behind his back.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, I mean, I feel for Sully here, where I'm kind of like, I would understand how he would just feel really mortified.
Right. And here he is. He's very upset about it, and I don't know if I've ever heard him take a tone like this directly to Michaela.
Mm-hmm. How could you go behind my back like that?
I didn't mean to.
What did you mean?
I ordered it on impulse that day. I wanted to surprise you.
Surprise me?
Well, I didn't think you'd object.
She's also lying, right? She didn't want to surprise him.
No, she was just like, I want my window and I have money, I'm gonna buy it.
Wait until you see what else I ordered. It's like gold wagon. But yeah, I mean, yeah, he is completely in the right for being upset. I just still don't think it's the end of the world. But
once I found out how you
I'm sorry,
just like, and like I'm saying, he's publicly embarrassed, so he's still kind of fresh off of, you know.
He also could
have
rolled with it, be like, oh, okay, I'll come and check it out in a few minutes.
He could have just, like, trolled Michaela and been like, all right, money bags, since you have all this money, I need this and this and this and this. Buy it all for me.
That would be a Mark thing to do. While you got the catalog open.
I felt about it. It was too late.
But why didn't you tell me?
Because I was hoping your opinion would soften.
You were hoping to change me.
No. I was hoping I could persuade you to change your opinion. Well, it has been known to happen.
Oh, you're so darn cute, though. I'm waiting for that, you know.
Yeah.
This isn't
the first time, by the way, that Sully has kind of accused her of just, you know, trying to change him.
Right.
Even very early on in their courtship, the whole dancing thing, they kind of had, you know, a little conflict over that.
Yeah.
So it's sort of been kind of an ongoing thread throughout their relationship. Mm. Partially kind of personality differences, probably. I mean, I think that they are like a good couple together. I actually think it's kind of refreshing that they show stuff like this, where like they're having some conflicts and going kind of through some rough patches, and then they ultimately, like, you know, have to compromise and work through it, because
I think it's fair. I think it's a good discussion to bring up between them.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, like when TV shows just have like the long-awaited romance that comes together, and then it's just kind of like, oh, now they're together, like happily ever after, and mm-hmm. it's kind of like not really realistic. It's like they don't really even seem like real people. So I'm like, when you put in like the dynamic of it's like these are people, and people have like issues, you know, people get into conflicts and they work through it, and they do throw stuff like that in, which I think is good. I mean, I think it's like, I mean, there are portions of their romance that are almost like a little unbelievable, where it's like they just get almost like a little over the top with some things. It's kind of stretching the reality, I think, mm-hmm. of it. But then they throw stuff like this in, which I think kind of grounds the relationship really well, kind of balances it out. So
now, how
overall,
much did he owe before? Like $12? Or something.
I think so, yeah.
Now, how do you, I mean, you pointed out that he might be regretting that he didn't invest in Dogecoin, but if he had bought $12 of Dogecoin
mm-hmm.
back then, what he could have had now?
Oh, to the moon!
To
the moon.
Yes.
Yeah.
I should have told you. If it's embarrassed you, I apologize. What are you doing?
There. This is what you paid for the window.
I don't want your change.
That's so funny. My husband literally just texted me. We were talking about Dogecoin. Oh my God. Up 65 cents.
Oh, really? It's up to 65 cents right now?
Yeah.
Hold on. Yep. I have to confirm this. Well, it's a little bit. Yeah, I mean, it looks like it did hit 65. It's currently 63.6. But but that's great. Oh, no. It's not 64. I like the way it kind of goes up and down. By the time this airs, we'll be to the moon.
Yeah. This episode of Dr. Coincast is brought to you by Dogecoin.
Yeah.
Dogecoin, to the moon.
Right. And you know what? If Dogecoin hits $10, we're going to buy, we're going to fly Cheryl out. And we're going to, we're going to have a meet and greet.
Yeah.
Somewhere. And, no, we're not. Yeah. We're going to buy the house next door to her. I don't know. No, we're not. We're not this obsessed with Cheryl. It's just that she struck a chord.
She just implored us to do better, and we're really trying.
Yeah, we're doing our best.
But you said you couldn't afford it.
I can't afford it. It's all the money I got.
Well, how are you going to pay for the things you need now?
Oh, God, this is a Canadian coin. Sully, this isn't even American. This is like a Cheyenne coin. It's an arrowhead.
I'll find a way. Aww.
As much as I make fun of this guy, I think that the dynamic between Sully and Michaela is really great. I really do.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
As you point, I don't know exactly what this clip is, but Dorothy's giving, as you point out, stellar advice as usual.
I think I'm wrong, Dorothy. But why shouldn't I contribute money to our house if I'm fortunate enough to have the funds?
You know how men are. They got their pride.
I understand,
but take away a man's pride, you rob him of his dignity.
But pride should be based on things like talent and character and accomplishment, not on how much money one has.
The Bible says a man's got to be the head of his household. That's the way it's always been. So if a man's not providing everything his family needs, he feels like he's fallen short.
Well, he shouldn't.
Listen, when I started making a little money from my paper, I tried to give some to Lauren for my board. He wouldn't take it. He acted like I was insulting him.
That's just the way Sully was.
He says I'm providing other things. I keep the place clean, I cook and sew for him, I make things cozy. He says he's not lonely because I'm there, and that's worth more than money.
Oh, well, I agree with him. But why shouldn't the same be true for a man?
Because it ain't, that's all. And there's nothing you can do to change it.
I think there's a lot of inaccuracies about what Dorothy said.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of like, her advice is really not that great. And then at the end of it, when, you know, Dr. Mike's kind of like challenging it, she just kind of walks away and like shakes her head like, you crazy.
Because it ain't.
Yeah, like it's just not. You're crazy. Why do you want to change everything?
Right. It's very odd.
Yeah. So like their friendship is like has a weird dynamic like that.
It's amazing. I mean, that's her best friend.
Yeah, because like, you know, Dr. Quinn is the way that she is. And she's always very like, you know, kind of forward thinking, about everything really. And she's always kind of like pushing the agenda to like, you know, advance things.
Michaela doesn't have a very good friend in this town. I mean, if we were to go back to Little House just for a moment,
yeah,
you know, we have the Caroline character and she has, Alice Garvey. She has, the others.
Yeah.
But, you know, she does have people who are her peers and people who are nice. And Dorothy, I think she's the closest thing that she has to somebody who's a friend.
Well, so the thing is, I think that Michaela has pretty limited options because kind of like you said, like who else is there in town? And then also like of the people that are in town and like of the women that are in town, because we do see the women in town that are like around Michaela's age. Pretty derisive of her because of the whole woman doctor thing.
Maybe,
you know, it's
Grace.
Not just the men. It's not just the men that don't like the woman doctor. I mean, a lot of women in the show don't like it either. And Dorothy is like okay with the fact that she's like a woman doctor, and she's, you know, she's fine with stuff like that. And of course, Michaela helped her out a lot when she first came to town with the whole trial thing and everything for her husband. I don't know. I think that, you know, it just sort of like came down to, it's just sort of like, you're okay with me and what I do. And, I like you. So like, we're friends. And I don't know, but that, there's like this dynamic. It's just weird. They have very like opposing, I think, like, I mean, Dorothy, I suppose you could say, is sort of forward in that she's like a woman living, like, she's not really independent yet because she's so, you know, living with Lauren, I suppose, technically, but.
I would say Grace is a better friend than Dorothy.
Mm-hmm. And Grace is, yeah, I think so too, actually. And like with Grace, they actually do have some like kind of deep conversations here and there. Some pretty personal conversations.
Yeah. I don't know. I also like Grace a little bit more. She's more of a moral person.
She's moral and she's also sassy, which I like.
Mm-hmm. I just wish that the restaurant was a structure. That's the something I legitimately have an issue with. And I understand
like where they eat when there's weather.
It's just odd. Myra is now sleepwalking. This becomes kind of a subplot that is going on and on and on. I wouldn't really play this, except I think that it's really amazing how she ends up in the arms of Hank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's noteworthy.
Yeah. So. And we get kind of this goofiness. And she's just walking around, looking around. She's not really... it's just strange. She kind of... goes into the saloon in her nightgown.
Look who's here.
I do want to mention an earlier episode that we recorded. I said, I'm surprised that he doesn't have a jar of pickled eggs in his bar. And there they are. He does have pickled eggs. I love pickled eggs. Pickle eggs are great in a salad, believe it or not.
Oh, with a lot of that.
Zip to a salad.
I mean, I like eggs and I like pickles, so I'm sure I'd like pickled eggs. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Why?
What's the matter, Myra? Trouble in paradise?
I'm hungry, honey. What you got to eat?
Everybody's like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
This is going to really mess with Hank. Hank's in love with her. I mean, we know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's made that very clear.
And he's kept his distance, right? I mean, he's actually... All right. She chose...
Well, I mean, after the whole thing when he was going to, like, shoot her. Once he, like, worked past the whole trying to kill her thing.
That's true.
Yeah.
It goes on.
Myra? Myra!
I don't know why I don't know why Horace has to wear his stocking cap as he's looking for her. I don't know the point of a stocking cap.
Well, I think they don't have like heaters, keep the head warm at night. As usual, I'm not really sure like what time of the year it is exactly, because if it's not like a holiday episode, I find it kind of hard to figure out in this show like what time of year it is, because it kind of always seems the same and nobody ever seems like that cold.
Even during the Christmas episodes, there's no snow on the ground.
Well, it snows a couple of times.
Oh, does it?
Okay. Snow sometimes. Yeah, it's rare, but it does happen here and there. In the pilot, though, like that Christmas thing, it's like they had a lot of snow then. That was crazy.
I have to go back. Most I forgot already.
Snow ever. yeah, but I think it's just like, you know, you don't have a heater. It keeps your head warm. Maybe. I don't know. That's probably it, I guess.
I know with like women, they would do it so that their hair doesn't get all messed up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just like a warmth thing.
Okay.
Anything's live enough for you at home?
I'm surprised you stuck it out this long, but then again, who can figure out women?
And she's just smooching
good one,
on
Hank. Everyone laughs like Hank just said the funniest thing ever.
Well, they're all loaded. You know, they all have like... They're all drinking and they're all partying, and she's just smooching like, with Hank. It's amazing.
Is our turn next?
She's sleeping.
Sleeping?
She walked in here with her eyes wide open.
She walks in her sleep. She don't know what she's doing.
She knows exactly what you're doing.
And she's smiling. And she's into Hank at this state of her nocturnal moment.
So what's interesting is how, like, Hank kind of, or not Hank, Horace kind of walks out and kind of, like, looks around and then, like, walks straight to the saloon. Like, come on.
Yeah, you're right.
Why did you know she would be there? I mean, it's kind of, I mean, there's not a lot of places.
Yeah,
to go
what else is open, but, really?
Yeah.
Myra! Wake up! Wake up, please, Myra, honey! Wake up!
I'm a married woman!
Don't bother me none. Fact is, you kiss better now.
Kissed?
You've been walking in your sleep, Myra.
Oh my goodness, what have I done?
Let's just go on home now. Come on.
And there's a great line coming, so I just have to play it.
You think she really was sleeping?
I think she came over here to get what she's been missing.
She can sleepwalk over here anytime.
And he actually looks a bit disappointed, actually. I first time I watched this, I thought, oh, it's a funny line. But when he says he just looks upset.
Yeah, I mean, I think he probably misses Myra, honestly. Yeah. It was like his best girl. And she's gone. Yeah. And I don't mean to, like, make light of it, because obviously the whole situation is pretty messed up and the life there was pretty bad. But he obviously felt pretty deeply about her, no matter what you think of his definition of what it means to love somebody.
Sure.
Because that's, like, a whole other can of worms. But he did really have feelings for her and obviously had a really hard time, you know, with her leaving. So...
So on the homestead, we have Sully building their chimney and getting advice from Matthew. The only thing in this scene that I think that's kind of interesting is that Matthew decides to leave as soon as Dr. Mike shows up.
Oh, he's out of there. Like,
yeah, like he expects there to be a legitimate fight, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't be near when mom and dad fight or something.
Right. Well, he's just like, oh, does Dr. Mike have a gun? Oh, shit.
Exactly.
It gets out of there. It's crazy.
It's like, I'm surprised he didn't, like, you know, make sure his gun was loaded or something.
Yeah.
But so he bolts, and here's Michaela pulling up.
Where's Matthew going in such a hurry?
Not sure.
As Sully takes down his new, canteen.
Canteen, yeah.
Oh, wait, did that happen yet? No, this is the old one, right?
No, this
you
is
know
the new
the timeline.
One.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. Very nice.
Very nice. So he's using the canteen that Matthew won for him from gambling, which, by the way, pretty funny that he was asking Matthew for money advice.
Yeah, it's like, if I give you $1,
can you turn it into 50?
Yeah. I'm surprised that doesn't become more of a trend, like him returning to gambling.
Yeah, he never does. It's like a one-and-done type deal.
He was good at it, so I don't understand.
Well, I've been thinking about our situation, and I made some calculations.
Now, this would trigger me. I hate to be triggered by things, but if my spouse came to me about a problem and said, I was thinking about our situation, it's like, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, right.
Situation. It's not that complicated. Yeah. You know, but what she's going to propose, I think, is insane, personally. I think it's a little bit insulting, personally.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you?
Well, as you know, some of my patients pay me in cash, and others pay me in things like chickens and sides of mutton.
So?
Well, I figure that during the time that I've been in Colorado Springs, you've brought us meat at least twice a week, and if I'd had to buy that meat from Lauren... I'd have paid this amount. So, I actually owe you this.
I don't want money for that.
And the repairs you did on the homestead? Well, if I'd had to pay a handyman... You see, I've listed all of the repairs and how much they would have cost me.
What does that prove? I would have done them anyway.
Oh, he's
sweet. It proves
sweet.
That she can do math, Sully.
This is like equal to like 6 Dogecoin right now. Which I think is like $3. 360, but...
And the cords of wood you bought for 2 years? That comes to...
What? What are you doing?
Here at the bottom is the total amount of money I owe you, and I'd like to pay you back now.
Her heart's in the right place. I get it.
I mean, she's making, like, a good point, you know, where it's, like, the kind of immaterial, you know, things that the relationship brings.
Yeah.
Where it's like stuff that it's like, not to sound like cliche, but it's like you can't put a price on it. I mean, like, she does have a good point, but kind of like she's very like, well, that's sort of her, right? She's very like,
she's begging to help financially, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think, although I would personally be insulted, I think I would say fine. I would have already folded. I would have ordered extra.
Be like,
windows.
I don't want a math lesson. If it's me, I'd be like, I hate math. Stop it. Just do what you want.
Get that friggin' book away from me before I burn it in this chimney that I'm building. Fine, you can have the window.
So
is this about the window? Because I find the window's here. It's done.
That's crazy.
Well, that's my point. If we measure everything in money, it becomes crazy. I mean, how much is a hug worth? Or a kind word at the end of a troubling day?
A kind word?
Well, what is it? In the Gazette, I think it's a penny per word. So.
Penny per.
Yeah, penny per word.
How much is it worth to know that you believe in me?
I'll pay $5 for every Cheyenne comment.
If I had a nickel for every time.
That whole willow bark thing is worth at least $10.
Yes.
And she's going to be publishing that stuff. I mean, she's going to be making a fortune with this information, exploiting the Cheyenne's medicine.
I do love you.
Sully, you make me very happy. And it's worth more than... than a whole city of houses.
City of houses? No. Has she ever been to a city? Because they don't usually have houses in the city.
Oh, Boston. She had a house in Boston.
Yeah. Excuse me. All right.
Let's not talk about this anymore.
She smirked and then thought, oh my God, I'm going to have to push him away again.
Yeah. <I'm> just he just kind of like sealed it with the kiss. Like, we're done talking about it.
He's
like,
a smoothie. He knows the moves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only thing missing from this entire scene is that he probably smelled like Drakkar. No, he would wear a better cologne than that. Like Jean-Paul Gaultier or something.
But really, though, the real question is, if he's so short on funds, how did he pay for his highlights and his hair?
Well, if Jake was doing a half-price sale on highlights, because he does do the coloring in the town. And he said, actually, well, you know, for 10 cents, he'll do the highlights. And just like, you know, for the price, he'd be a fool not to, really.
You, like, you get 10 highlights for the price of 5.
You know, you pick, you go in there, his hair is like the aluminum foil all over him.
Yeah.
I'll be done in a little bit.
I want this scene. And then like while like the foils are sitting on the hair, like processing, he's just like getting a shave or whatever. You gotta do something while you're killing that time.
And he's under like a dryer and you see Brian in the back on a bicycle pedaling, like blowing the air on him. Like it's like a Flintstones type device.
I love it. I want this scene.
Yeah, that would be a good scene. This is why we need animators, because if we could find animators to create these things, you know, with Dogecoin going to the moon, we might be able to hire some animators to make our fan fiction a reality.
Well, that's the hope.
And what we'll do is, you've seen The Twilight Zone, how it's hosted. It has like the host in the beginning and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be Cheryl. I'm Cheryl Mills or Miles. It'll always be wrong. It'll change every time.
No, that's okay. Change it up.
But no, that's what we need. Animators. So there's a fight at the saloon and I don't know what the fight was about, but the guy who's in charge of the carnival or the Wild West show.
Mm-hmm.
Gets his hand broken. Brian immediately is like, you know, Sully's the best. And it's like, who's this Sully? And it's kind of interesting. Do you want me to play it for the Hank comment?
Yeah, that's like one of my favorite Hank lines.
Okay. It's a bit visual, but it's fun.
Let me see. I'm a doctor. Can you move your fingers?
Mom, what happened?
There was a fight. Mr. McCoy has broken his hand.
Oh, damn it. It's my knife-throwing hand. I got a show Saturday.
Oh, I'm afraid that won't be possible. This will take weeks to heal.
My knife-throwing is a starring act of the show.
Well,
I know.
Well, nobody asked, so... Can I get my money back on those tickets?
Well, here's the thing. Nobody's in this town has seen your show yet, so they wouldn't know that it's missing.
By the way, like, Michaela just bought tickets for everybody, right? I mean, maybe put that money towards the house.
Well, Sully's not going to take it towards the house, so she has to spend it on entertainment.
Right. Who knows what kind of entertainment?
I'm afraid you'll have to rearrange things or replace yourself.
How? You got someone in this town could hit a moving target at 20 feet?
Sully could. He can throw a tomahawk and a double-bladed axe. Never misses.
Where is this, Sully?
Oh, don't trouble yourself. He'd never perform in your show. Now, why don't you come with me? My clinic's right across the street.
All right, man. You're back in there. I need a whiskey.
I need a whiskey.
Hank has a great voice. You know, and I almost feel like it's always perfectly recorded.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's additional dialogue or it's recorded after the fact. I'm not sure.
He's consistently perfect and amazing, just like everything about him is. I love it. Yeah. He just is so, I love like how he just is like, so like not afraid to just like be himself, you know, like he's just like. This is what it is, and if you have a problem with it, I don't care.
And as soon as, I mean, you could think Hank is a monster, and sometimes he's definitely done monstrous things, but, like, this is one of these examples, and you pointed out how weird it was just as much as I did, that Sully is approaching Hank. I mean, it's amazing to me. I mean, usually Sully's threatening him.
Yeah, there's, like, really not an indication prior to this that there's really like any sort of relationship between them.
Right.
Really the only contact sort of that they have is like when everybody's gathered around the clinic because somebody's having an operation or everyone's in a mob or something like that, you know.
Yeah. Well, Hank's usually in front of the mob. Yeah. Leading them.
Yeah.
Come on. But Hank's a business person. I think it's just one of those things where if there's one thing that Hank is consistent with. He's consistent with making money, right?
He's a very savvy businessman.
I don't know why he stays in this town.
What he's doing.
Yeah, I don't know why he stays in the town. I don't know why Michaela stays in this town. It makes no sense.
Well, I think that Michaela stays because it's sort of like a mission field for her. I mean, I think that she kind of is really committed to... Well, I think two reasons. Like, I think she really is committed to, like, trying to like improve it, you know, like she like brings the medicine there that they didn't really have before, and then she's kind of starts to sort of try to like develop like people, you know, she really tries to like advance kind of agendas and then also there's Sully too. I mean, like, she was thinking about staying in Boston with that William guy, but then, you know, Sully like won out at the end. So I think that, like, if Sully weren't there, like, I don't know, it might be different. Maybe she wouldn't have been as committed to staying there if he weren't there.
No, I agree with you. It's just, I think she's just kind of stuck. I don't know. It's a little bit frustrating.
I think it's pretty clear, too, that she also, like, actually does want to be away from her family because, like, we know that she has issues, like, kind of, like, getting along with her mother, and her sisters are, like, pretty snobby, except for, like, Rebecca, who's pretty nice. I think that, like, she kind of is relieved. I mean, I think, like, her father really was, like, her ally in the family, and then when he died, she didn't really have that, like, you know, ally in the family anymore.
Right.
And I think that she probably really kind of, like, wanted to get away.
And the girls, you know, and then her sisters seem very jealous of her. That's another thing. I've heard. Yeah, totally. And they are independent, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, her sisters all kind of live like the kind of regular, you know, Boston socialite type life. They're all like married and they have kids and everything. I mean, they're in Boston. They're with their families. Like, they're not really like in a position to be doing what Michaela is doing. Right. So. Yeah.
But here's the dynamic between Hank and Sully.
Morning, Hank.
Morning, Sully.
Going to Manitou?
As soon as I get loaded up.
Can you take these with? Sell them for the best price you can get. I'll give you a cut.
Ain't you heard? Market's all dried up. Now, if you had a bear skin, we could do some damage, because folks back east got a hankering for them bear skin rugs.
Don't kill bears, Hank.
You ain't paying much for the small stuff. Eyes you, I'd hold on to them until things pick up.
I gotta sell them now.
Do what I can.
Thank you.
Sure.
That was the most cordial these two have ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Up to this point, anyway.
It's a kind of endearing scene, actually. I mean, it kind of...
I really do like Hank so much. I think he's a cool-looking guy, good-looking guy. And
yeah, his demeanor is really, like...
Yeah.
The way that he just, like, carries himself and speaks and everything.
Yeah, this is definitely a solid little inkling, a little peek into more of Hank's layers. Now, at Michaela's office, she's surrounded by random bottles of medicine.
Well, we got the morphine and the quinine. Like,
what is all this stuff? I don't know. I mean, what is she collecting? Have a whole collection or all just like, well, let me get a few drops of this.
Oh, to bring into like the Little House thing again. It's like that episode when that new doctor comes in, when Doc Baker quits.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like clearing off his shelves and like throwing all these bottles away. Like, Doc Baker had all these random bottles just like stacked up there. They don't have like labels or anything. You're like, what are these?
You think they're show bottles?
Yeah, and then the guy just comes in and like is like, oh, this junk, I'm throwing it away. It's like, what is it in the first place?
It's salt water. It's just garbage.
When does this happen?
It happens just about every night, doesn't it, honey?
It's got so I'm scared to sleep. I don't know what I'm bound to do.
She went out to the saloon the other night.
And I woke up, I was sitting on Hank's lap, but I don't know how I got there.
I've never had a patient who did this before.
Have you ever sleepwalked?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, me either. I think I had a sibling that did it, but not like that I recall. I just remember people talking about it. But I don't know. This is like one of those things that also growing up in the 80s was a big part of television. And I always thought it would become a big part of my adulthood.
Dealing with people sleepwalking.
Kind of like quicksand and Bigfoot. Like, these are all things I thought that I would have to deal with as an adult, which I didn't. Not yet,
too
anyway.
Bad.
Maybe one
too
day.
Too bad.
Right, as I get a new neighbor.
Should you eat before you go to bed? Sometimes I have a glass of milk.
That's all?
Because it says here,
and a sleeve
the
of
causes
Oreos.
Of somnambulism are very obscure. But the most frequent causes are excessive amounts of food before bedtime and mental or bodily excitement. Does it say how you cure it? Well, you should fix up the bedroom so that Myra can't get out. Well, that way she'll be less likely to hurt herself. And for a time, you should avoid...
Shimmy sham.
snacks, no sex. Yeah. No fun.
But, you know, think about it, yeah, right? You can't even, like, eat your way through this. Now, Michaela, as a doctor, is so uncomfortable. So uncomfortable. It's crazy to me. Just listen to her.
Bodily excitement.
Oh, you mean we shouldn't...
No. Not until this clears up. And I'm sure that it will.
It's easy. I've done it for 30 plus years.
I mean, yeah, she is like a little, Okay, so like I get the like the whole social thing, you know, like around stuff like that at that time. And it's like kind of like a taboo subject, but also like you're a doctor and you're in a doctor's office, and I feel like you should, like, in that private situation.
Right, you're talking to two people who, and you're telling them to not be intimate with each other.
Right.
I think like, that you could say it as a professional.
Yeah. Just be like, avoid intimacy. Boom. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
What do you mean, Dr. Mike?
Can I hug Myra before bed?
Maybe I shouldn't even look at her. You know, yeah, maybe those are the questions.
Do I need to sleep in a separate room so she doesn't know I'm there?
Forever? Forever? Oh, poor guy. Like, but yeah, I can picture her just thinking like, I just want to eat a sleeve of Oreos and go to sleep. All right. So Dr. Mike makes, I don't know if she made it, but she's bringing Sully lunch. Oh, wait. My clip was too early.
Sully,
sorry.
I brought you something to eat.
Blech.
Thanks. I hope you're hungry.
What's that? Don't worry. We'll solve it somehow.
I got something to tell you.
What?
I'm out of lumber, and I can't do any more work on the house until I can make some more money.
How long will that be?
A few weeks, maybe a month.
Oh, so...
Maybe two if I have to, you know, update these highlights.
I think my roots touched up.
And I know you pointed out his hair and everything. His hair really hasn't looked better for up to the point where I'm at. And
yeah, it looks great.
It definitely suits him. And I still think that Michaela is pulling a whole Diane Keaton in Annie Hall outfit. I don't know.
She has like, is she wearing it right now? I can't really see like her like bottom half, but she has those things where like it kind of looks like a skirt when she's standing, but then like you see when she's walking that it's actually just like pants.
Yeah, what are
like,
those?
Like really baggy, like
pantaloons
kind of
or something? Those things that like they would wear in like in India in like cartoons in the 1930s, kind of odd type of things. But I don't know. Or she's dressed like Indiana Jones, one of them. It's the whole. I don't know. I don't like the look too much, but she somehow pulls it off. She looks fine.
We're gonna have to postpone the wedding.
We can't postpone it. We've notified my family. They're making plans.
Then we're going to have to stay in the old homestead.
Sully, we agreed. We need a larger house. We need privacy.
What do we need privacy for?
I was just going to say that. Like, for what?
And she's whispering, "Should we need privacy?"
Well, hey, if Carrie could handle the foot of the bed.
Then we got no choice.
Yes, we do. We can buy that Lambert today if you'd only let me. Sully, this is our house. We have the funds.
I couldn't live in it. Don't you understand? I couldn't sit inside and look at those posts and those windows every day and every night knowing that you paid for them.
So you want us all to suffer?
That's not what I'm asking.
Yes, you are. You're going to sacrifice everyone's happiness because of some ridiculous principle.
So,
I'm slamming the music play. It's so dramatic.
I will point out here that, so really the reason now that he has no money is because, well, she had ordered the window and then he paid her for it.
Yes.
But she's also like, oh, you're making everybody suffer. But it's like not having the window wouldn't have caused anyone to suffer either, right? Like,
he also would have had money at this point.
Yeah, right. So it's like, you didn't have to have the window. Like, you just wanted it.
That is a nice fireplace, though.
I mean, Brian just wants to sit in his green room. I don't think he cares about the window.
He just wants to have a telescope in a backyard. But I think it's such a nice chimney, and they're putting up the whole mantle, very a la Little House. Does this house actually get built? You can spoiler it for me.
Yeah, it's a very nice house. You'll be impressed when you see it finished.
It's one of those Sears houses. Those are actually kind of nice.
It is very nice.
Very nice.
It has a ton of rooms, too, because the kids all have their own rooms. There's like guest rooms. Like, I mean, her family just comes and like stays at the house.
Oh, really? Like, we have that type of connection in the future.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's like a very nice house.
All right.
Very roomy.
So, Michaela went home and changed into what you refer to as her morning outfit because she's arguing now with Sam. Mm-hmm. And there seems to be this just kind of building tension here between just in general everything. But Sully is going out hunting with Cloud Dancing.
Kayla?
Sully?
Going out hunting with Cloud Dancing.
How long will you be gone?
A few days.
Well, I hope you have good luck.
I haven't gone lucky so far.
What?
I haven't gone lucky so far.
Exactly. Maybe Cloud Dancing will give it up, but poor Cloud Dancing. Always in the middle of all this stuff. So I'm going to push this a little bit further. But so Judd approaches Sully about throwing the tomahawk, and Sully does one of his magic tricks where he's like, put up a card and throws it. And he throws the tomahawk so well that his negotiation of payment from $10 is raised to $25 per show, I think.
Yeah, he more than doubled it.
Which, I don't know how he's making $25. Like, how much money is it to see this show that is being given in the middle of the town for free?
Well, yeah, and like, well, no, the show's not free. They have
but
to
I mean, all you have to do is stand there and watch.
But they have to buy tickets to it, right?
Yeah,
well, they had to buy tickets.
I know they say they have to buy tickets, but it appears to be outdoors. It's not
like
it's enclosed.
Like, prevent people from it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what are they going to do? You know, it's like kind of like people who go to concerts and go to the parking lot to listen.
Yeah, that's true. Although you might get hit by those stray bullets when they're shooting them in the air.
It's true.
Be careful.
Accidentally.
Yeah, accident.
But as they're hunting, Cloud Dancing is just talking about his take on the entire situation. No. It's always nice to hear some Cheyenne advice from the number one Cheyenne of all of Colorado.
Well, I mean, I'm sure at this point he's kind of like, oh, great, another Sully problem. No, not really. But he's always just like giving him, you know, he always totally knows like what is up, though. Like, he just reads through. I mean, he knows Sully really well, too. But he just like totally reads through the lines and he's like.
Yeah, and he's like, tell me again.
This is actually what your problem is.
Like, so you're going to, yeah, you're going to build a house. I wish I had a house. And,
and you're fighting about a window? I don't have windows.
Like, yeah, he's like, what's a window?
Let's try over there by that stand of trees.
The deer will not come there anymore.
Cloud Dancing is a great voice, too, man. Like, man, yeah. That's the second time I called you man.
Man,
not in this recording, but
man,
ever.
The voice is great, man.
But, yeah, Cloud Dancing just has, you know, I want him to read audiobooks and stuff.
Oh, yeah, or do, like, some, like, relaxing videos for going to bed or something.
You're going on a journey.
Tonight's Vision Quest is brought to you by...
Exactly.
Cloud Dancing.
Tonight's... That would be cool. Like, we can create audio versions of Vision Quests.
Yeah, I like it.
Let us return to camp. You have three already.
It's not enough. Need more. Gotta sell the skins.
Would you want to write a Sully and Cloud Dancing radio drama? That's what this would sound like. It's like from the 30s.
Yeah.
Things are changing. He's building a house. Gotta get more money. I don't want Dr. Mike paying for it.
Then you have trouble. She will always make more money than you. You bring her things that have a different kind of value.
Well, it's hard to see it that way.
Well, you were right. Things are changing. For many seasons, you slept in the woods by yourself. Now you're going to sleep in a house with other people. You're going to share your life with that of a woman.
That is what you are fighting, and it's not the money.
Maybe build a guest house for my wife and me. Or wives. And
yeah. Well, really, though, with Sully, Cloud Dancing, of course, sees what's really going on. But I will say, in Sully's defense, it is a pretty big transition where not only is he starting to share his life with a woman, but also, like, three children come with it.
Who are not even related to his new wife.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, that like, really is taking on a lot, like, all in one fell swoop.
And he still has to keep an eye on Colleen, that she's not going to have a crush on him again.
Yeah, I know. Awkward.
Yeah, that is awkward. Oh, yeah. I didn't know you were in the shower.
Now, that may be. I still got to find a way to earn more.
Were you working a bank?
No.
Run a saloon? Well, you wear the wool suit.
You know I can't do that.
You did it.
Well, if it's money you want.
Yeah, it's coming.
He has worn the wool suit before.
Three-piece wool suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not like people in town are just wearing wool suits all the time either. I mean, where does he think he's getting a job where he's going to have to wear the wool suit all the time?
Washington?
Of course.
So after he basically tells him that, you know, you have to compromise just as much as, like, everybody else needs to compromise for the most part. I don't know. Like, what do you think I should go do next? I mean, he basically listens to the advice. He really takes everything Cloud Dancing says to heart and seriously. Mm-hmm. But Sully will always do what Sully wants to do.
Right. Right. Exactly. I think just because it's fun, we should go to Myra with her singing.
Oh, yeah. That's
that's a good one.
I thought when I first saw this, 34. I thought she was drunk or something.
Yeah.
Here we go. We're just, like, sleeping. I'd like to know what Horace is reading in bed.
Mm-hmm. My wife and I live on a lonely little log. Can we call her home? She loves gin and I love rum. Together we have lots of fun. Ha, ha, ha. You and me, little brown duck, how I love you. Ha, ha, ha. You and me, little brown duck, how I love thee. My, how you make my friends my...
He's trying to stuff, like, a sock in her mouth.
I know. He's, like, literally trying to, like, stuff her mouth shut.
And it's just so... Is this, like, a sea shanty or something? I don't know if this is a real song.
I mean, is it like a... It sounds to me like it's some kind of, like, sailor type song.
Like a
sea shanty.
Do
they sing stuff like this at the saloon? I have no idea. Like, why does she know this song?
You know what? Maybe this was, like, one of her services.
Yeah.
This is her character.
Then you make me wear old clothes. There you are, so near my nose. And up and down she goes. Ha, ha, ha. You and me.
So we have Hank come out stumbling. I'm going to guess this is, like, 3 in the morning or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just coming stumbling out in his bloomers.
His pink long underwear.
Yeah.
What's that squalling?
Somebody's singing. Sounds like Myra.
And Jake is wearing his, like, a more of a nightgown. Now, Hank has something with pants on, and
he likes
Jake
the
has,
freedom that the gown gives.
You just cinch it up and go. Yeah.
Well, that ain't stopping. Now listen.
What Hank is wearing essentially are, like, underoos.
Well, I think it's, like, the same style of, like, long underwear that they wear in Little House all the time.
Yeah.
The, like, pink, like, long John thing. Yeah.
Tis you who makes my friends my foes. Tis you who makes me wear all clothes. There you are, so near my nose. Tip her up and down she goes. Ha, ha, ha. You and me. Little round duck, how I love thee.
Oh,
you and me. Little round duck, how I love thee.
Stop.
Ha, ha, ha. You and me.
Can't yeah, hear you. Duck, maybe something's wrong.
Me.
It's kind of hilarious. They break down the door and all of the pots and pans that Grace had set up with
Grace and the Reverend
Lauren
and
it was supposed to wake her up.
There.
They all it all falls on them. So they're like, "What the hell's going on?"
Yeah.
woke her up. You ain't supposed to do that. What if her soul can't get back now?
Her soul? Where'd it go?
I don't care if it's flying around the sky on a broomstick.
Keep that woman quiet.
Classic Hank.
This is so funny. He's so grumpy. So Sully is back to hunting, and I mean, essentially, he's decided to do the Wild West show. I mean, and now he's ready to kind of share the entire mm-hmm. thing with the family.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that there was kind of a weird dynamic when he comes into the house. There's something about this that I thought was a little bit odd. Did you notice also the size of the muffins that were made?
They're huge. They take up like a whole plate.
Like what the heck? Like they're eating a serious meal here.
Sully.
Hey, Sully.
Morning, everyone.
Morning. How'd the hunting go?
And also, it's like a gallon of oatmeal. It's like,
yeah, I know. They're eating a lot.
I mean, it's
food.
A total of five people. How much food do you really need?
Did you get enough pelts? Well, that don't matter now.
I beg your pardon?
I invested in Dogecoin.
To this, the moon.
The way he walks in is the way I feel every morning when I check my the Doge numbers.
Yeah, I know.
I got good news. I figured a way I can earn enough money to finish the house.
Really?
So Dogecoin hit a penny. I'm good to go.
And get married in time.
We're rich, Michaela, rich.
Exactly.
What's the plan? Well, you got any coffee?
Did you find a job?
You found buried treasure.
Thanks.
Do tell us. We're bursting with curiosity.
Have you ever heard of
cryptocurrency?
I'm sorry. Say it again.
Have you ever heard of cryptocurrency?
It's kind of like Bitcoin and Amway meet. Oh my God.
I made $14,000 in my first week.
By the way, we hit 68 cents. Amazing.
Woo!
Yeah, it's crazy. All right.
Yeah. Gonna be in the Wild West show.
Yippee!
No, seriously. What are you gonna do for the money? Michaela's actually wearing a really interesting dress. I don't know if you noticed these kind of crazy colors, but I don't know. She really just pulls off most things. Like, you know, she really just is so poised.
And
whoever made her outfits, or really anybody's outfits in this entire show, because I also noticed Dorothy is somebody who's really just really dressed so well in the show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's, I'd say, even better in some ways than Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, they are. I think there's like a lack of bonnets generally. We don't see a ton of bonnet wearing going on. Some more hats, I think, from the women.
Yeah.
You see a bonnet here and there, but I think generally their dresses kind of seem to be a little bit like fancier, higher.
And Michaela's hair is often it's down. So it's, you know, kind of really odd.
I told him he could throw knives better than anyone.
But you said it was phony.
Well, it's just for a short time. If I work five shows, I can earn enough to finish the house and I can go back to doing what I always do.
You're not going to go on the road with him, are you?
What's going to be your name? I'm going to be Roddy Roddy Piper. SummerSlam 68. Jeez.
Just to Denver.
Denver?
Well, you go on trips yourself working.
Are you saying that you'd...
That's a real job, though, Sully. I mean, it's basically what she's about to say is like, it's okay for me to do it, but not for you to do it. Which I just, I do think is unfair. Is he really, he's really trying here, so we have to...
Rather perform in this show than accept money from me?
Yes.
She does not like that.
No. She's like, here, eat your oatmeal, stupid.
Here's your oatmeal.
Here's your gallon of oatmeal.
You eat it all. We don't have a refrigerator to put it in.
You can't leave the table until it's gone.
It's a lot of oatmeal, too. It's like when you go to a hotel and they have like a breakfast buffet or something, and they make an entire thing of oatmeal. It's like twice that amount.
Yeah, it's like a 5-gallon bucket.
You have raisins? No! You don't need raisins. Cheyenne said, yeah, enough. So Judd, I think, has a little bit of a crush on Sully. He likes dressing him.
Oh, yeah. He's just, like, living out everybody's fantasy, and he's, like, dressing Sully.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Here we go.
I ain't wearing that.
It's what the people want to see. Oh, no. I wore it myself a while ago.
It's like Hank dressing Myra on her first day or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really, like, interesting little jacket, by the way, that he gives them. It has all these, like, colorful little...
Yeah,
like... Looks like crepe paper or something. I don't even
know. Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like. Yeah, it's just junk.
I ain't. They're going to clap and cheer for you, trust me. Just put it on. Come on, one arm, then the other. Let's go. Come on. There you go now. Get up to the mirror. Let's see it. Now, looking good. That looks good.
That looks good.
Stay right there. Don't move. It's like, what is going on? It's like things are just quickly getting weird around here.
Yeah.
So Brian runs around telling everybody Sully's going to be in the Wild West show, and people are like, kids have another brain injury.
And yeah. He's never recovered from the first one.
It's like, how many fingers am I holding up, Brian? Then, so really Judd quickly realizes what he wants is what everybody wants. And that is a shirtless Sully.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where I know this actor from. I mean, he's been in a million different things. But I know him from something in particular. Yeah. And I looked on the entire IMDb list. It is hard to say IMDb. I just can't put my finger on what exactly I know him from. But
yeah. I mean, I recognize the dude, but kind of the same deal.
You know, you are right, Sully. That costume is all wrong. Why don't you just take that jacket off?
Take the jacket off? What am I going to wear?
Well, we'll put some paint on it, and then
And can we give Sully the credit right now for having that braided ponytail thing that I'm going to say that the Phantom Menace stole? And Star Wars in general stole that entire idea from Sully.
Really?
Yeah, it's in the Star Wars thing. It's like the Jedi pigtail or whatever you call it, or rat tail.
Interesting.
Yeah, put this on. Yeah, put it all on.
These things?
Yeah, all of it.
We also see somebody out in the audience selling, you know, cheap headdresses and...
Little, like, souvenir things.
Tommy Hawks and these type of things. Yeah, it's... really insulting to most Native Americans to see how commercialized this stuff was and is in a lot of ways.
Right.
It's really visual, this whole, for the most part, but I do like the intro of Sully when I literally started laughing out loud when he was introduced.
Our next star is a creature that we brought down from a dark cave deep in the mountains, far from the civilized world. Ladies and gentlemen.
You know him. <It's> like, each one of you have a personal knowledge of that he grew up here.
Yeah, that's what I think is just, like, so hilarious about this. It's like, I know it's just, like, acting in a show, but it's like, come on, you all know Sully. This is ridiculous.
And it's funny because I think it's Jake who kind of, takes what's being said as truth, sort of. He's goofing, but
joking about it. Yeah, but they're like, of course,
makes sense.
Yeah,
I give you Sully, the savage mountain man.
That should be a bumper sticker, and it's like it's funny because it's just so funny.
The savage was captured by Indians shortly after he was born.
No, that ain't true. Of course not. This is a made-up show.
He lived among the savages and did not speak one word of English until he was 12.
You knew that. Explains a lot, don't it?
I love that. I love these two.
Yeah, that's great.
They should have a podcast. Finally, Judd practically forces Sully onto the stage, And, you know, honestly, Sully is dressed like if you were to be at a bachelorette party and hire Sully the mountain man.
Sully the savage mountain man.
Yeah, and he would have the little boombox and, you know, he'd press the thing.
And, he would, like, come out and he'd start, like, taking those necklaces off and, like, putting them on the girls and stuff.
Yeah, and he'd have the pants, though, that they tear off, you know?
Yeah, totally he would, yeah.
That would be kind of hilarious. So he blindfolds Sully, and he's like, oh, you could see right through it. I point out that as soon as the blindfold comes out, you know, Michaela starts writing down things about things that she enjoys about all of this. Yeah, but not really. Really, she's writing about windows. She's like, well, I'm going to order brass doorknobs.
No, really, she's like, if I blindfold Sully, he won't know what window we have.
As long as I get the window. It's all that really matters. Now, do you have the file open in front of you, by any chance? Mm-hmm. All right, so yeah. I'm going to go to 4135 and play it. And I just want you to take a close look at the wheel and notice that behind the head, there are axe marks as though he missed a few times.
Oh, scary.
It's so funny. Like, not funny, but there are axe marks where it
the head goes,
where he would have missed.
Yeah. All right. Now for the grand finale. Sully the Savage will throw a double-bladed axe at a moving target!
It's a Native American guy. He's just, I'll get up there. I don't care. You give me a quarter. And right where his head is, that there's this.
Yeah,
axe
I see
mark.
That. It's That's just... scary.
All right. Anyway, we're ready.
And do you want to talk about what Sully does? I mean, they start spinning him in a very ridiculous way.
Yeah, the whole thing is just kind of uncomfortable. You know, they have this, you know, Native American guy that gets up on there and they start, like, just spinning this giant wheel around and Sully's supposed to throw the axe at it. And then, like, Sully's not comfortable with the whole thing to begin with, but this is kind of when this, like, crosses the line for him.
Now, let me ask you, if it was a white guy.
He's an advocate for the Indians, right? So, like, he's not going to really support this anyway. And it's just the whole thing is kind of uncomfortable.
If it was a white guy or even Brian, do you think you would have stopped it?
Yes. If it were Matthew, no.
What about Hank? Would he have stopped it for Hank?
What about Lauren?
Lauren. Oh, my God. He would have said, spin it faster. Blindfold me. Spin me more.
Yeah.
You know, when they spun him, so when they blindfolded him and spun him, he seemed to be facing the wrong direction. But he wasn't.
Yeah.
But it really did look like he was going to throw it into the crowd.
Yeah. Like, he's just like, I've had it.
Yeah, exactly. Right into Michaela's skull. Oh, my God.
I'm dun, so dun, sick dun, of dun. This window shit.
I've had enough of the window. Yeah. We can't fix your own brain injury. We're back at Dr. Mike's office, and we're, like you point out, we're finally examining Myra instead of just kind of, what are your symptoms? You know, what is it called, the virtual thing when you get these, like, doctor visits, but it's through your, like, FaceTime? I forget what it's called, like an e-checkup or,
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Is there really, like, one term for it? Because I think it's something that a lot of places just do now.
Well, we got billed it because Betsy had, like, a cracked tooth. And literally, the guy's like, hold the phone up to your mouth. And it was
so weird.
Yeah, we got a bill for it. I mean, we didn't, we saw that the insurance company billed it. And I was like, are you serious? I mean, it was like a FaceTime call.
Yeah. Well, so for, like, Michaela, that would have been, like, somebody's, like, sending her a letter with a drawing of their tooth, and then...
That'd be kind of funny. All right. And I'm going to just send over some eggs as an extra payment. Pickle.
Heart rate is good.
Sorry. I feel so weepy. I don't know what's come over me.
We've almost finished.
You notice any change in your appetite?
Yeah, I'm eating like a horse.
Except...
Oh, a horse.
I knew. Like, she's a whore.
She's the best whore in the show.
Yeah.
She's, well, now she's a wife.
At bedtime, like you said.
Well, has it helped?
No. Horace says I'm still walking around at night, scaring the daylights out of him. Then I'm tired all day. I keep taking naps. What's wrong with me?
Nothing's wrong.
Horace?
I think based upon what you just told me and me listening to your heart, you must be pregnant.
Yeah.
What?
I can't believe she didn't just examine her like the first time she came to the doctor, because apparently at that point she was already having the same symptoms anyway, you know.
Now why wouldn't the writers just throw in one of these things to Myra saying, well, when was your last period or something? And she'd go, well, like 6 weeks ago. Boom.
Yeah, yeah.
But no. No. Michaela doesn't need to know that kind of information to determine that Myra is going to have a baby in about 3 hours.
She just has to look at her. That's all she needs.
Yeah, that's it. See, in 1868, you could just smell their wrists. Oh, it smells like lemon verbena.
No,
that
you
means
just
you're pregnant.
Bring wolf in. You just bring wolf in to sniff her, and then.
Well, isn't there a thing where with an egg that the gypsies used to do? I think maybe you could. The gypsies would do something with an egg to determine the sex, maybe.
That sounds right. Well, oh, no.
Maybe it was Carolyn a ring on a string.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I think right. Carolyn did that thing in Little House where she went to the gypsy and it was the ring on a string.
Yeah, I think that's where I learned about it. I learned most of the things in life from Little House. And now I'm learning a lot more, though, about, you know, on the Dr. Quinn show. And
the Sully show.
Yeah, the Sully show. And I don't know, I'm learning a lot more darker things like whores and alcohol and morphine addiction with needles.
And the general violence of life in a frontier town. Yeah,
I think it's far more honest than Little House.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I think their depiction of kind of like the rough and tumble way that things were is more realistic.
I just think it was still far dirtier. You know,
Michaela looks too polished.
Our hair is always just perfect. Everyone's hair is just a little too perfect.
Yeah, and like the clothes are clean, all except for Sully's shirt. But I mean, everybody is like. Well,
unless
clean.
He has his suit on, which is like the whitest shirt I've ever seen in my life.
That's true.
What? Is she sick?
No, not sick.
What then?
You're pregnant.
Myra, honey!
I can't believe it!
Oh, I'm gonna have a baby!
Maybe that's gonna be one long baby.
So it's crazy to me that it doesn't ever occur to Myra that she could be pregnant. Because I assume she knows how babies are made. And there was that episode in the first season when she thought she was pregnant, but it was that tumor.
Yeah.
That she had to have removed. And then she was all like, oh, I have these symptoms, and like, I've seen it happen to other girls. It's just crazy to me that like, it wouldn't have occurred to her that, you know, like, maybe I'm pregnant. Especially now that she's not doing like the, Hank does say in that episode, like, you know better, like, you know, than to let this happen. Indicating that there were ways that they, like, you know, prevented it, which like, I've read up on a little bit, and there were like a few strategies that they would employ to like, you know, prevent pregnancy, you know, with like prostitutes. But so she kind of knows a little bit about that, but you would think that she would know, like, well, I mean, I'm like sexually active, yeah, and I'm not like preventing anything, so like, oh, maybe it's possible that I'm pregnant. It's just crazy that she doesn't think about it.
Michaela's really pretty self-absorbed. She's been, you know, she probably draws pictures of that window like if you look at, well, Myra's case file, it's like in the top left corner, it's like a drawing of the
stained glass, like, window. When they kind of like pan to her just like standing there smiling while they're hugging and celebrating, she's really just smiling because she's like, that window.
You guys are gonna pay cash because I need that money towards the window.
Have you heard of Rondelay?
Have you seen the window? It is just so elegant, and it is so nice.
And it really makes the house a home.
So Michaela goes to her future home and does one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen done by Michaela. She flips this table.
What is that?
Like, there was, like, his coffee and stuff, I think, and the plans for the house.
And, like, his tools, right, and, like, the plans. And she just, like, flips it. Like,
what's your problem?
How's he supposed to build the house now? You ruined his plans.
My God. It's like if somebody's, like, fixing an iPhone and they have a billion screws in front of them, you just come by and flip it.
He just turns around. He's like, I spent 2 days drawing those plans.
It's like that was my 1,000-piece puzzle.
What'd you do that for?
What are you, stupid? You drunk?
Were you at the saloon today?
Exactly. Did Hank serve you?
Because we don't need to build a new house. We can live in the old homestead. We'll be fine.
She said we needed a bigger place.
Well, I was wrong. We need to live in a manor that you can afford.
I let you down.
No, you didn't.
Yes, you did.
I still want Rondelay someday.
I would just love this. I would love if we saw the front of the shanty house that they live in. And as you pull back, the only thing that's different is they have the window in.
Right in the front door, they have Rondelay.
Exactly. And it stays that way forever, and they never have a different house.
Yeah.
That would be incredible.
That's their big compromise. They gave up the house, but they got the window.
We got the window.
Sully, it's not the house that matters.
It's the window.
What good is it to build the most beautiful home in the world if you have to sacrifice everything that you believe in to do it?
You have a window on it.
And by sacrificing, do you mean not getting the window?
Yeah, right. Like, what good is having this big house if we don't have Rondelay?
If we're not going to do it 100% my way, then I see no other reason to do it. Can I get the window? Say yes.
What is the point of getting married if we're not going to have Rondelay?
Right. If we can't agree on this, if we're fighting about this, maybe we shouldn't get married. Really.
So, like, spoiler alert.
Uh-oh, they don't get married?
They actually name their first child Rondelay.
No, they don't. That'd be awesome. Ron, Rondelay. Is that a real window? I looked up the word, but it didn't really mean much.
I have no idea.
Oh, fancy.
Just some word they picked.
Maybe they can give Wolf a real name. It's, you know, Rondelay.
That's his stage name.
The same man that I know. The man that I love. All we need is each other.
In that window.
Sully.
He's really throwing that thing around a little bit, too.
No, and it's like, Sully, you can't just put the window on air. Like, you need to have structure on the window.
Can you give the guy a break? He's been living in a lean-to for the past 3.5 years with a wolf named Wolf. He's not the most creative guy in the world.
Yeah, right. Like, he holds up the window, like, in the air like that, and then Wolf, like, sees a squirrel and just goes, like, running past him and, like, knocks Sully over, and then Rondelay shatters.
And a piece of glass goes into one in Michaela's blue eye.
Oh, no. And she has to wear an eye patch.
I still can't believe you've never noticed, or maybe you did notice it, but you said that you never visually noticed it.
Well, I think I noticed it because I, like, read somewhere that they were different colors. And then I looked and I was like, oh, yeah, they are.
It's the first thing I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
An alien.
I'm going to finish our house.
But you said you can't afford it.
I can't.
But I've invested in Dogecoin and now I can.
Dogecoin went up to 65 today.
To the moon.
But we can't.
Trust fund.
Yeah, I know.
Sellout. I mean, basically, he has completely gone to the dark side. But he's doing the right thing, I think, personally. I know I'm joking around, Cheryl, but I think that when it really comes down to it, like, you know, when Pete wants to buy something and, you know, it's expensive something, you probably discuss it and you end up getting it, you know, if you can afford it. And
yeah, I mean, like, we're both kind of, I know some people have like different styles, but we're like pretty laid back about stuff like that, where it's like, well, if we have the money, like, why not? Right. Like, right. You know, we have the money, we're not like breaking the bank, like, go for it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm for the most part pretty much like that. And I just feel that some things are totally worth it. And for somebody like Michaela, of course, she feels as though this window is worth it. Right. These little kind of touches, I guess.
Well, because she was like, Sully, you spent all that money on getting highlights. Can't I have this one thing for myself?
No!
Just this one window.
Yeah, it's... But, you know, the truth is that they both get their hair done weekly. And they probably spend a good amount of hair. I mean, a good amount of money on hair. But now that they've invested their money wisely into Dogecoin, you know what? They can get their hair done even more. Yeah,
treat yourself.
Yeah.
I think it's a nice ending to the episode. I mean, because it's like, you know, Sully, they both come to the right conclusions, I think. You know, like, they both realize that compromise is necessary. And then they're both, like, you know, in a place where they're ready to finally, like, you know.
Do it.
Give some leeway, you know, and kind of like come to a solution. And
yeah. And in all seriousness, I do like the idea of them building a house and then coming together in marriage. Like, there is something very organic and something very nice about the way that they're forming this relationship. And if the house looks anything like the plans, which I'll guess they do, it's going to look really awesome.
Yeah, it's a great house. It's amazing. I mean, it's like the kind of house that, like,
Did the window really tied together?
The window was key. It's like the kind of house I think, like, you could live in today, and, like, you'd be like, this is one sweet house. Like, yeah. It's very nice.
Well, the drawing looked very modern. You know, it looked very, very, like, my house now is a colonial, and it's really, I guess when my house was built, wasn't that far of a time from this. I mean, about 45 years. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, like, the house that reminds me a lot of, you'll kind of see, especially like in some regions and say like in like, you know, like the Appalachian Mountains and stuff, when people are like just like living in these like cabin kind of houses, and some of them are like really quite nice, like quite big and, you know, kind of fancy. Yeah. And it kind of reminds me of those, where it's like when her family visits, they kind of like derisively call it a cabin. But I'm like, well, yeah, it's like a cabin, but it's like really big and awesome. Like, it's like a totally, like, it's nice, you know, but of course they, I don't know. They don't even comment on Rondelay. I don't know what their deal is. They totally overlook that.
This episode is sponsored by Rondelay, double pane windows soundproofed. It's like Anderson double pane windows.
Yeah.
So, well, Kelly, we've come to the end of another episode, and I don't know. I always enjoy this. I mean, enjoying the journey of Dr. Quincast.
Yeah. I'm having a blast going through it with you.
Yeah, me too.
So it's just a lot of fun to discuss it. Just so much going on in these episodes, just like so complex with the characters. And, I do really enjoy, for the most part, the show, I think, is pretty good with continuity too. There are a couple of things that are like a little off, a little crazy, but for the most part,
you mean like getting rid of Colleen?
Well, that's not really a continuity thing though. That's more just like they got someone else to portray her. But there are some weird continuity things, like with Ingrid in the first season, where you're like, cause like he invites her over to dinner and she's like starving. Yeah. But then like in a later episode, they're like meeting for the first time and you're like, what?
Yeah, I thought that was very odd.
It's like, that's not right. But I mean, there's a couple of weird things like that. But for the most part, I think like the continuity is really good on the show, which is always fun too. Like, when you don't have to contend with a lot of like inconsistencies and you can just kind of focus on the story.
I like Ingrid and I know my heart's going to break when they kill her off, which I learned.
And, well, just wait till what you have in store after that.
Oh boy. And I just think, even though I goof on her accent, I think she's one of the better, I guess, middle tier. I'd say she's middle tier. Actors in the show, not mm-hmm. actors, but characters.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I'm hoping that we get a little bit more Ingrid before they kill her off. Maybe
poor
not.
Poor Ingrid. Well, Ingrid, wait, yeah. You don't have a lot of time left with Ingrid, actually.
Thanks.
Well, because you're like, what, halfway through the third season? A little over halfway?
Well, I am on the episode after the meteor one. I was like, yeah. Meteor shit, you know, like from Creepshow.
Yeah, I love that episode. It's so fun.
It is. Did you ever see Creepshow, though?
No, I did not.
All right, so you don't get the meteor shit. It's a Stephen King joke.
Oh,
anyway,
okay.
Stephen King acted in this one little segment, and a meteor crashes and it starts growing like a moss. I haven't seen Creepshow. Jeez. Maybe you're not into horror movies.
I'm missing out.
Yeah, little bit. All right, so, Kelly, thank you so much for getting together.
If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe to Dr. Quinncast in iTunes